I know if this is working.
Yeah, well, I'm Florence Gould. Florence Moore, M-O-O-R-E, Gould.
And you were telling me that you grew up in...
Well, I was born on a farm in East Warren. And I was probably about four when my father made an exchange of the farm, and we moved to the village. And at that time, it was just a very small store, not too much bigger than this room. And it was a barber shop, a harness and shop, and sort of a tack shop, you know, for
horses.
And tobaccos and cigars and things like that. It was a very small shop, but it later developed into a country store of everything. And it was located right in the center of Warren.
Now, you said that there were five stores?
Yes. I don't know. As you cross the bridge into Warren, there's a little bridge. Originally, it was on this side of the bridge, downstairs. But as you cross the bridge, it was this building at the end of the bridge.
I see.
And it was the lower floor of a building, which had apartments above. So it was just a lower floor building.
Did you live above the store?
No, we did not. We lived in a house just this side of the bridge. And at that time, there were five stores. There was my father's country store. And right next to it was another country store, which was a building, very large building of its own. And then there was a house, which was a little inn. And there was another big store, which was a large building. And then you went just around a little corner circle, and there was another store, which was a store and country store and post office.
Now, did they all sell roughly the same thing?
They all stole everything. Practically, I think my father's perhaps was the less different. The other three stores sold yard goods, and one had a milliner's store in it, and the other stores sold a little bit more of a variety than my father did. But he still had his barber shop, and he had his shoe repair cobbler's work, and he made harness pieces and everything for the horses. Yeah. So I grew up with the running back and forth to the country store.
Well, you must remember a lot.
Well, yes, I do, more or less. One of the things that amazed me in those days, the bananas came in a great big string of bananas, you know, that you hung up in the store. And what the men had for chewing tobacco, you know, came in strips, and you had a machine that cut that up. I always was sort of interested in cutting that tobacco off, you know, those strips. And, well, in those days, what we used to call salt salmon came whole salmons in great big barrels of brine, and families would buy a whole fish, you know, because they had big families on the farm. And, his store had shoes, which many of the stores, the other stores didn't. And there was a third store almost across the road from him. There was a hotel and another country store almost across the road from my father's store.
Well, Warren must have been quite a thriving...
Well, it was quite a mill town in those days. there was the butter tub factory, and right just below our house where we lived was what they call a clapboard factory. And we kids used to go to the mill and pick up what they call buttons for kindling wood. right there. And then down further was a big, was a grist mill. And a mill, I don't know just what it was that they took in the big logs, I know. I don't know, just I expect it was planks and woodwork. So there were many mills. And then just out of Warren, what they call Granville Woods, you probably know where that is, yes. Going toward Rochester. Yes. There were two what they call lumber camps up there where they had the big lumber, I don't know, I never was up there, but there was some, they I suppose cleared the timber from the whole area.
Yeah.
And the lumberjacks used to come down on Saturday night and come to the store and buy this and that and the other. One thing particularly they bought was Jamaica ginger. Did you ever know what Jamaica ginger was?
No.
Well, it would burn the inside, I guess, out of an iron kettle.
What would they use it for?
They would just tip it up and drink it, the lumberjacks would. And, of course, I was afraid of them because I was a kid. But we also had a livery stable and rented the horses out. And I had an older brother who was about 5 years older than I. And he used to go up and get the lumberjacks way up in the woods with the two horses. And he'd have to take them back up along in the middle of the night, summer and winter. And so that was kind of an interesting part of the store. And, well, he operated the store until 1920. He sold out.
Now, you said that he sold his farm and bought the store. Did he trade with
Well, it was a trade.
For the store?
Yeah, sort of. Yes, I don't know what kind of a trade. Of course, it must have been some particular trade, but it was a swap.
That's interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
Even in itself.
Yeah.
And he knew how to cut hair?
Oh, yes. He knew, and he cut, and he shaved with the straight razors, you know. And, yeah, yeah, he cut hair, and he shaved, and of course, the lights were all kerosene lights. Eventually, he had what they called gasoline lamps, I think they were called. They had mantles and so forth. They were quite a bright light, those were,
yes.
That hung up in the ceiling. Because he stayed open evenings. He was open, I don't know, very late sometimes in the evening. Because anybody was in, he was there.
And it must have been fairly companionable, I mean, with a barber shop there.
Oh, yes. All those country stores, of course, people came in to visit. And certain ones came, drove in, you know, with, I suppose, their milk. There was a creamery, quite a large creamery in town. And I suppose they brought their milk in. And they all had to stop and either visit or buy something or something every day. So it was quite a lot of traffic and stuff through. It was a busy town in those days.
Yeah, I guess it really was.
And that, I was about four, so that would have been about 1906 that he moved to the village and opened with the little store, the swap store.
God.
Yeah.
Were there particular people that you remember that? Because one of the things that I found with the general store is often it was the center of fun and humor.
Well, yes, more or less. Speaking of the lumberjacks, there was a little French guy would come to town, and he drank the Jamaica ginger, and he felt pretty good. And he'd always give the kids 50 cents, you know, that would be around, and they'd be around on Saturday night. Yeah, but of course I wouldn't touch anything like that. So my father said to me one day, "Why don't you take the 50 cents that so and so offers you?" And I said, "'Cause I'm afraid." And he said, "Well, next time he offers you 50 cents, you take the 50 cents." So I did. But he was the funniest little Frenchman. He'd come in, you know, and he would jump around and he'd say, "Hello, hello, by Kremis, hello." He was always getting off jokes, silly jokes, you know, like that. That was a part of it. And we were not allowed as children to be in the store much during the day. Because, you know, there were people coming and going all the time. And, so.
When you got older, did you help out in the store?
I didn't, but my younger brother did from the time he was 8 or 9 years old. He worked in the store steadily. My older brother didn't want anything to do with the store. He wanted to play baseball. But my youngest brother, boy, he was busy. He worked there all the time when he was growing up, but I didn't because, let's see, I went away to school when I was 12 years old. Of course, there were no high schools in the town at that time, so I didn't really work in the store at all.
Where did you go to school?
I came over here to Randolph High School 2 years, and then I went to Goddard Seminary, which was in Barrie City at that time, for the other 2 years of, because I was interested mainly in bookkeeping and so forth, and the courses here were not what I wanted to really complete the courses, so.
That was quite unusual at that time, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah. So I went to Goddard, which was a 2-year commercial course, which was all commercial subjects. And I graduated in June. I came back to Randolph in July to work, and I've been here ever since. And I'm still doing bookkeeping, and I'll be 90 years old in October.
That's pretty darn good.
I do the bookkeeping at the Randolph Senior Center. It might not sound as though there was much bookkeeping to be done, but with all the government reports and so forth, there's still a lot of bookkeeping to be done in those places. So I'm still at it.
Well, one of the things that I've been impressed with is the amount of practical joking that went on at the general store.
Yeah.
And you reminded me about, the bananas.
Yeah.
A great story at the Hastings store in West Anvil.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's told that. Woman came in and said, looked in the, there was just one hen there. And she said, "Mr. Hastings, do you have any more hens? That one looks a little bit scrawny." And he said, "Well, just a minute, let me look out back and you look at the bananas over here." So she went to look at the bananas, and when she was looking, he brought the chicken out and...
Thank you.
What time is it?
What time?
It's
3:30.
Thank you. He brought the chicken out and said, "How do you like this one?" And she said, "Oh, that's much better. I think I'll take them both."
I know, those things were so very strange in those days. Yeah. Don't think that the children growing up in this age would believe some of the things that were done in those days.
Well, that's the kind of thing I'm looking for, too, because I think everybody's interested in that, and it's out of their ken.
Well, my father was, in his younger days, he had taught school. But he was a very well-read man, but he never had time during the week to read. And he kept the store open on Sunday as well as weekdays. So Sunday night, he closed up the store early And he read, and I guess all night, Sunday night, to catch up on the reading that he hadn't been able to do during the week on account of the store. Yeah.
Did he make harnesses as well?
Well, he made parts of harnesses and so forth, yes. He had all the things to make. Of course, that was amazing. You know, they used the, what was it they sewed with? I can't think now.
The palm?
Well, he had a machine that, you know, held the straps and things, and he sewed them, punched the holes and sewed the straps. And, yeah, yes, he
taught
me.
Now, how did
that.
He learn that?
I guess he just learned it. I guess he just had lived on a farm and it had to do some of it, and I guess it was just natural.
Did he grow up in East Warren too?
Yes, he grew up. Well, he grew up now in what now is Sugar Bush.
Uh-huh.
His parents owned a farm down in that area, up in where Sugar Bush is, and. Then they did. They moved to the village. I don't know just when they moved to the village. But I wasn't born for 13 years after my parents were married, so I never knew much, I guess, about their younger life. But yes, they must have moved to the village when he was a young man. But they lived on a farm. Out of that area, right in the Sugar Bush area, right where you turn, just beyond where you turn to go up to Sugar Bush. Have you ever been up there?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I interviewed the Irishes.
Oh, yes, yes.
Had a farm up
near
there, I guess.
Yeah.
Or their grandfather.
Well, am I still on this?
Mm-hmm.
I was going to inquire, did the Irishes tell you of their ancestry?
Yes. Well, another project we're doing is this multicultural guide. So we've used that interview where the two brothers met, actually, the two German brothers.
They came over.
Yeah, and they didn't know the other one was there.
Well, my adopted brother, my oldest brother, his father was one of the same group that came over with the Irish boys.
Oh, well, there were a number of them then.
Yes, yes. There was my brother's father, whose name was Pike. P-E-Y-C-K-E.
Oh, and it's now P-I-K-E.
Yes. Yes,
and you don't realize that was
no.
German.
No, that was, of course, they really run away from the Prussian army,
mm-hmm.
those people who came at that time. And there was the Irish boys and Mobus, M-O-B-U-S, and P-E-Y-C-K-E, my brother's father, my adopted brother's father, and seems though there was the fifth one.
Yeah, there was, the Irish is talking about another guy that
at the moment I can't think of the name, but I believe there were five of those
I'll be darned.
Young men.
How did they all find their way to...
Well, that always puzzled me, how they ever found their way to a little town like Warren.
Well, what the Irish has told me was that this guy, Q, advertised, and they saw the advertisement that he wanted farm help.
Oh, yes. And that was, he lived in Waitsfield then. Q did. K-E-W. Yeah. Well, there were two Mobus boys, two Mobus young men, and, then the Mobus is the Mobus had told his girl friend in Germany that as soon as he could, he would send her a card, and it would not say anything particular, but she would know that she was to come to the States, and she and her sister came to the States afterward. Yeah, can't think what their names were. The
yeah,
women.
And I guess one of the Hartshorns.
Well,
married.
See, yes, that one of those girls was married a Hartshorn.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, Yeah.
Well, and there were a bunch of Irish people up there. I heard that wonderful story about Tom and Biddy Egan.
I don't know.
Did you ever hear about
that? No,
no. Well, I guess in the period where Warren was a mill town.
Yes.
There were a lot of nationalities in and out working in the Lumberwoods.
Well, yes, there must have been. There must have been. But, you know, as a child, you don't, somehow you don't
yeah.
know too much about older people.
That's true.
You, anyway, I guess we just played amongst the younger children, and I guess I didn't know too much about the older people. But, and as I say, I went away to high school when I was 12, and I never did go back to Warren to live. No. See, I was here 2 years, and then was in Goddard 2 years. And then I directly came here to work in an office. Yeah. And I've always worked in an office over the years.
Did you miss home when you first left it, or?
Well, not as much probably as some did, because I lived with a cousin here in Randolph.
Well,
I boarded with a cousin. And so I guess probably I didn't, but I did when I went to Goddard. I lived in the dormitory.
Mm.
And oh dear, I was so homesick. It was terrible. Yeah.
Mm. Well, what are some of your most vivid memories of Warren in those years growing up?
Well, I don't know. Of course, it was a little village school. Which I went to through the grades there in the village, and
it must have been all horse and buggy.
It was what?
All horses rather than automobiles.
Oh yes, I do remember the first automobile that was particularly that I remember. A family in Warren had it, and. One of my girlfriends in school used to ask me to go for rides with them, which was quite something. Well, they did have cars along the last of my living there, because a great treat for the people was to take what they call a 100-mile ride. And that was a circle from Warren to Montpelier and down around and through this area and back over Granville Woods and back into Warren. And they always called it the 100-mile trip because it was just about 100 miles, and it took about a day to go to Model D Ford.
And you make would start trip. Early in the morning?
Yes, take
back.
Your lunch and get back in the
dark.
Evening. Yeah. Yeah, that I do remember that.
That's amazing.
And then I remember the one of my girlfriends, they got a player piano, and that was quite a novelty for kids in those days, for a family to have a player piano.
I gather there was a number of people could sing and play instruments, and there were
yes, it was you know, we went to Sunday school, and we had our little Christmas trees and all those things that I personally don't remember that my family ever had a Christmas tree for us kids, because we always went to the church where they had the big trees and everybody had their Christmas at the church. So people tell about they always had their Christmas trees, but I don't remember that we did. Well, that probably was another reason for that. My mother was not well, and we had usually had two hired girls, and you know, hired girls don't like to do too many things for the kids if they don't have to, and the kids don't like to do things for the hired girls.
How many kids were you? There were three of you?
There was three of us. Mm-hmm.
Your older brother, yourself, and
yes,
brother.
My older brother was adopted. He was 2 years old, and he was adopted 3 years before I was born. So,
now, how did that happen?
Well, his father, this Mr. Pike, married my father's cousin, mm-hmm. Hattie Moore, and I don't know what all is recorded. As I say, these men ran away from the Prussian army, uh-huh. in Germany. His father was a German Prussian, and he married my father's cousin, and they had these three boys, and after a time, somebody told the mother of the three boys that her husband had been married in Germany and had children over in Germany and so forth. And it was such a shock to her that the story is, of course I just heard it, was that she just gave up completely, and just after a certain time she just died, they said, of a broken heart, if that's possible. And my brother was two, and the other brother was five, and the other brother was seven. My brother was the youngest, and of course it left the three boys with the father, and he worked in one of the mills. And he had an accident and lost his arm. And it was difficult, very difficult. And the boys used to stay with different families somewhat of the time. And my brother stayed with my parents. And as I say, my brother was two, and his father shot himself and left the three boys, and so my parents took the youngest boy. And my uncle, my father's brother, took the next one, and another family in East Warren took the third boy.
And did they then go by the name of Moore?
No, neither of the others were adopted. My brother was the only one that was.
He went by the name
of Moore, yes. But the others kept their name of Pike. Yeah. Yeah. So that was the family, what happened to the family.
Yeah. Well, it's a heart-rending story.
Yes, but My brother was two, and the story is that my father held him up to the casket to see his father, and he was the only one that noticed the bullet was in the forehead. And he was the only one, and he said, "What happened to Papa Pike's head at 2 years old?" Yeah. 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 It hadn't been too long.
He lost his arm and his wife.
Yes, it was just too much, too much. And he just couldn't take care of the three boys. Yeah. They all grew up to be very good. The oldest one grew up to be a lawyer in Minneapolis, Minnesota. He was a very brilliant boy. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess also Fred Irish was married and had a son, which he lost, but he lost his son in World War One, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yes, because there was two. It was three, I guess, Mobus boys that was in the service.
Uh-huh.
In World War One.
But see, this one was in the service in Germany.
Yeah, well, this one went to, those boys went to Germany.
Oh,
the Mobus boys?
Yeah.
And the father told them, don't ever mention your name in Germany, because there would be trouble if you did.
Oh, my God.
See? But see, because they were deserters, you see.
I see.
Those people that came here to the States were deserters.
Oh,
they are. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So...
That's interesting. Well, it's amazing to me that there were that many stores.
It's amazing to me that they all could
do a good business.
Do a good business, and they did. They did. The Bragg store next door, they done a good business. And the Spalding store next door, they were considered quite wealthy people.
Yeah.
And the other one, the Brook